Okay, podcast listeners, this is Joe Bondosky. This is a very different episode of Start Writing. Most of what we've produced in the past has either been presentations prepared by either me or Jay, or interviews that we've done with other authors. But about a month ago, we started to have a marketing group with other authors, and we would go over some of the things we knew and share our knowledge about the industry and marketing and everything. And it's very detailed, very intense, but it's not a full-on presentation. You'll hear back and forth. People ask questions as we go through the material. And we decided it would be a good idea to share it with you. And so we got the approval of all the authors taking part in the meeting. And so in this episode, we are talking very detailed about Facebook and Amazon ads. We talk about floors to ensure profitability. We talk about, you know, measuring read-through and a lot of these things in a very detailed way. There is a video that goes along with it that we'll put on the Patreon page. So you can find that there if you want to see some of this visually, because you will hear us reference things that we're talking about that are on the screen. But I wanted to release this episode for some of you who are just in the dark on marketing. And so you can kind of see us talking about it very detailed here. We also want feedback. Is this the kind of episode you want us to release in the future? Our marketing group is meeting once a month. Initially, it'll mostly be me and Jay talking about all the things we've learned over the years of marketing books. But at some point, it will evolve into each of the members of the group contributing as we try new things and learn things about the different fields, different genres we're working in. And just kind of a mastermind group that way. So here is the episode. Like I said, this is very different than the formal presentations that Jay and I usually put out. This is, you know, this was a Zoom meeting as we were going through a very detailed description of how to set up your Facebook ads and your targeting and split test and everything like that. So let us know what you think about the episode and if you want more of these. And then, of course, if you get a little lost in the audio, there is the video as well. So last time, I guess for me, my big takeaway was, I don't even know if Sandra had joined yet. So it was just me and Stephanie. And the thing that she had talked about that was really helpful to me is she said, you have a podcast, you've got like over 200 episodes. You should make a top 10 list. And the reason for that is essentially when you have a lot of content, you want to control the flow of incoming fans and direct them to your best content so that they convert to long-term fans much easier rather than just stumbling in and maybe finding some of your lackluster material and, you know, then moving on. That was my big takeaway from our last meeting. Because we didn't record it last time, and I know like it was a lot of heavy information for a lot of people, we will dip into Facebook ads again, and then we barely touched on Amazon ads, so we'll go into those again this time. Does anybody have any questions before we get started here? No. Okay. With Facebook ads, let me do a screen share here. So when we're looking at Facebook ads, one of the biggest things we want to look at is the bid. And the bid is really important because this is where we talk about how you're going to determine profitability. Every book is going to be different. And as you shift and move your market, that is going to change. But what we're going to first start, what we're always starting with whenever we have a new ad is we just want to look at market standard. So market standard for books, if you've got a good ad and it's matched well with your audience, 10 clicks in 1,000 impressions is about average, and one sale in 10 clicks. Now, statistics are streaky. I see authors all the time who are like, I got 30 clicks and one sale. Is my ad bad? And we're like, no, you don't have enough data. Statistics are streaky, right? I mean, you may sell 4 books in the next 10 clicks just because the way statistics kind of streak out. So, you know, when you're looking at 200-300 clicks, you want to be looking more for that around 10, you know? So, I mean, if you got 19 and 200, it's probably a fine ad. Okay. So like I said, that's the industry standard. You're going to want to be looking to be close to that, with your marketing. And So in all my examples here today, I'm going to assume industry standard. But like I said, you've really got to watch your own ads and see if you're performing that well, or maybe you're performing better. So we're going to assume that your profit on a book, each sale, is, let's say, $2.99. Okay. Well, let's just keep it simple. Let's say, so it's $3. That's your profit every time you sell a book, okay? Now, if you're selling 1 in 10 clicks and you're being charged per click by Facebook, that means you've got to pay for 10 clicks before you make a sale on average, right? So what that means is that if you're selling, if your clicks, if your bid, your maximum bid is 30 cents for every click, then you break even, right? If you're hitting that maximum every time, you make nothing. So your bid should always be just under that. That's always going to be your maximum bid, right? Now you will shift this number as you find like the standard for each ad. So as you change an ad, you change the image, you change the title, different things like that. You've got to watch it to see where it averages out again. And that's really easy to do in a Facebook ad because you can adjust it based on, you know, time periods. So, you know, you can say, you know, I want to see the ad over the last 2 weeks because that's when I made a change. And so anytime you're running an ad, you're going to want to be doing at least 2 split tests. So we've done multiple split tests on this advertisement. And when we're running it, this is the current split test we have going. And you're always going to be running a split test anytime you got a ad running just to see if you can improve on it.
What do you mean by split test?
So split test is I have 2 ads that are all identical except for one thing. And as you can see right here, it's the image that I'm actually testing the change on right now, right?
Mm. Okay, yeah.
So you have, in a Facebook ad, you will have the image, you will have the copy, the title, and all of that. And so anytime you change one of those things, you're going to have a... So
let me just walk them through. So... on the right there, you can see Joseph Bendosky. That's like who's running the ad.
Yeah.
Just below that, you get a customized, it can be many paragraphs of text. However, they'll have to click more if it's very long. I think you get 3 lines max. Then you get to choose whatever image. And Facebook doesn't like you to put very much text on there. In fact,
they've since repealed that. They don't penalize you for that anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's fairly recent. Like, within the last 6 months, I think they've made that change.
So below it shows which URL that click is taking you to. Mm-hmm. And then you get to put, like he says, pick your listening platform down there. So those are all elements that you get to customize. And another thing that you get to customize is who it's getting shown to.
Yeah.
And so maybe you're doing, I want to see just with males. How do males click through this versus females?
Yeah.
You can do that. Oh, that's cool.
It's tempting. Yeah. Well, so Facebook will have certain demographics on people, like they have liked Kindle books or they have liked Brandon Sanderson. So you can like find different demographics to target your ad to.
Yeah.
And then it's tempting when you start to just kind of, you know, make one ad and then change everything and try another ad. But if you can, you want to be kind of scientific and just be like, okay, I'm running the second ad and I'm only changing this one tiny little thing.
Yeah. So the way Facebook runs your ads, you can actually set up a group where you take one ad and create a lot of variations, but the variation always has to be just one change. And then you can kind of run them all and Facebook will narrow it down to your best one. And then once you have your best one, which is what we did here, because you can see that the image we used before, so it was performing well. So we copied it and then we're running it in comparison against this new image here, which you can see is a very different image. But it's a significant change from the pattern we were using before because we wanted to kind of shake things up. But yeah, so when you're doing a split test, anytime you're running any ads, there should always be 2 running side by side with only one difference between those 2 ads so that you can see which performs better and you can constantly tweaking and improving that ad every time you run a new one. Right. So if you'll notice, my background here is yellow. And this was a really interesting thing that I came across. Mark Dawson was talking about this. He says, when I run ads on Facebook, the border that's yellow performs better. When I run them on BookBub, the red border is better. So you can, you know, there's 101 things you can change here. Now, one thing I always tell people when you're selling books is it needs to look like you're selling a book. Right? Where is, I don't see it. Let's see. Here we go. Your ad image has to be a book because it could, you know, if it's just your cover and you can't see that it's like a Kindle or a book, then they could think it's a movie. They could think it's a game. They could think it's a meme. You know, it could be 100 different things. So you need to make sure it's very clear this is a book in your advertising. Even though it may say it in the copy above, they may not read that copy. They may just see an image and be like, oh, that looks cool. I'll check that out. So what you want in ensuring that this looks like a book, you're discouraging anyone who's going to click on it who's interested in anything but a book. Okay, so let's go all the way back here to the beginning. Okay, so let's create an ad based on just the assumptions here. So the thing we want is traffic, right? We want to drive traffic to either Amazon or to our own landing page. Okay, so that's the first thing we want there. And this is going to be just a marketing test. Okay. I do not let Facebook do the A-B testing because I think it's terrible at it and it just doesn't monitor it the way I want it to. And they don't show me the data. And so that is the biggest reason if you are like, you know what, I'm just going to trust Facebook to figure this out. They want to make money too. You can do that. I don't like to just, you know, for the reasons that I don't see the data. I don't know why they're making the choice that they're making. So, and then with the budget, once again, I like to be in control. I like to micromanage my things here. So usually I will do a campaign budget and I start with just 50 until I know an ad is working. And then, you know, once you can change this later on. And so I will, you know, once I know it's working, I'll double that. It'll go up to 100 once I know it's working, you know, and so on and so forth.
So if your lifetime budget is $50, and I mean, I get that you're testing throughout, but how long would a budget like that last you? Like how many days? What are we talking about, a month?
So I will usually run that at about $5 a day, so it'll die in 10 days.
Okay.
So, and then it depends, you know, if I'm using a previously established audience, I will probably put it at, you know, I may just let it run and just let them burn through as fast as possible just because I want data and I'm confident. But if I'm trying a new target audience, then I will go in much more careful because with a new target audience, you kind of don't know how it's going to land. Right. So yeah, that's like I said, I start with 50 just while I'm testing the ad to see what's going to come out on top. Okay. So we're going into Facebook ads right now. So, for the moment, I'm driving to a website. Eventually, we may talk about Facebook bots, but those are kind of dying out. They were just a trend for a while. So here we can create a new audience or use the saved audience. So we'll create a new one just so we can kind of walk through the whole thing here. So my location, the United States, again, I think I mentioned this last time, but I'll cover it again here. So there's other countries where English is the base language, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, England. But one of the things you've got to kind of factor in there is how our currency is related to theirs. So in England, I don't really see any drop off in the performance of my ads. But because of the currency difference between South Africa and Australia and the United States, I get a lot of clicks, but I get very few sales when I advertise in those countries. Amazon will actually let you set different prices for different countries. I have not experimented with that, and it may be something I look at in the future when I decide to advertise there. But for the most part, I've kind of just stayed in the United States and the UK. We will go ahead and add the UK. All right, so we've added the UK here. Ages. So when you first run an ad, you'll probably just run it to all ages just to see how it performs. But I've been running ads for a while, and I know that people 40 and over are far more likely to buy my books. Now, it's a weird thing about Facebook audience in that the more you narrow the audience, the cheaper your ad spend will be because you're less likely to be competing against big advertisers who are marketing to almost everyone, right? The more those people you cut out, the more you can bring down your ad cost. So genders. So I will actually run two different ads because, again, I know my demographics. Men, I'll do 40 and over, but women, I do 55 and over just because I have those statistics from looking at my ad data before. And that, you know, it lets me narrow the audience even more. And I know that, you know, women between 40 and 40 and 55 are not big buyers of my book, but over 55, they're just as likely as men to buy my book. Okay. Now, of course, we're going to then go into the detailed targeting. So, again, the first thing you want to make sure is if you're Amazon exclusive, you want to make sure these people like Kendall, right? So we've got 7 million of them here. So that's plenty, right? Because if they're not interested in the ebook, and that's the number one thing you're selling, right? I think over 70 or 80% of all book sales are ebook anyway, then a lot easier to get that sale on an ebook. So, and then because of what I write, I'm going to put in here historical fiction. I want to be narrowing my audience, not expanding it. So we start with Kindle, then we add in historical fiction. Okay. Now that's going to drop my audience down to this many people. It's a little narrow for my taste. I usually like to have at least 10,000 people, maybe 100,000. But they've made some changes to the way targeting works now. And so what I could do is I could say historical fiction, and then I could include more people. So I could say thrillers, right? So then I'm going to say you could go either way here. And that puts me at, 540,000. And I'm comfortable with that audience size there. So that's the audience I'm going to be testing on at the moment. I usually recommend manual placements as well. And the reason is that these ads, so the ads can appear in stream, but they can also appear like those little tiny ones up on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. For me, those ads don't perform as well. And so I like to cut them out. So it's the right column. So I'm going to kill that ad section there so they can't pop up there. Everything else, a lot of this I don't have. Some of it I don't have data on, and most of it is just different forms of in the middle of your screen. But I do like to kill that one. So I'm looking for clicks. So, and then this is where we're going to put in that bid that I talked about, right? Oh, it's charging. That's charging me for impression. That's why. Okay. So we'll talk about this right now. So I have an option between clicks and impressions. Okay. Mm. So buying impressions is a lot cheaper than buying clicks, right? Just because it's far easier for them to sell them to you, and then they don't have to worry about whether or not people are clicking on that or not. So let's go back to my marketing sheet here. So let's say we're looking for 10 clicks and 1,000 impressions. But let's say I've got a good ad, and I'm getting on average 30 clicks in 1,000 impressions. Okay, what that means is if I stop buying clicks and I buy impressions, that can bring down my ad cost a lot, right? So let's say, because it's pretty close, that impressions will cost you about half what clicks will. So if it's costing me $3 in clicks to buy those 10 clicks, then at 30 clicks, it's costing me $9, right? But if I can buy the impression and not the click, I can get 30 clicks for $1.50. And my profit margins just shot up a lot.
What is an impression compared to, I know what a click is, but I mean the impression.
An impression is just when somebody sees it.
It's when it shows up on the page.
So you're not going to buy an impression ad until you know your statistics for your audience. You've really got to know your audience, and you've got to know I'm averaging more than, the click price I'm paying versus impression. And you'll see what it'll cost you for impressions, right? You can do a little test real quick and just see what that audience will cost you to run impressions against. And you could just spend $5 on that. And then you can compare that against how many clicks am I getting in 1,000. And if it's cheaper to buy impressions, you can buy those instead. But again, you don't want to go that route until you know your statistics, right? You've got to know your statistics before you start buying impressions. Let's go to the next one. So here's the sponsor. Now, I have a couple pages, right? I have the page for my books, and I have the page for my podcasts. And so I can run ads from a page as well. And you can, so you can try, creating an author page and or running them just as you, or maybe you create a page for your, your whatever your press is, and you can see if that impacts your data, right? Now, I'll talk about why I run them as me and not one of these other entities when we get into the super fan model. I don't know if we'll make it there tonight. So, yeah. So then we're going to pick the image. And then, as Jay said, we have that primary text. This will go above the image. Then you get a headline. Anyway, yeah, the headline will go down here. And then you get a description, right? So you can see where each of those go. And then... right. We're going to direct this just to Amazon. So I think I talked about this before. What we want is the clean link. So usually the best way to this is you want to open an incognito window. go to Amazon.com, look yourself up, okay? And then you want to click on your author name, and then click on your book, and then you want to grab everything before reference, because anything else that can is essentially tracking for you. So if you log into your own Amazon page, go directly to your book. All this data after you is saying you are the author of that book. And then if people buy from your link, it looks like you're buying your own book. And
they can track that, and they can mess up your like actual sales numbers.
Well, they don't mess up your sale numbers. What they'll do is let's do this real quick so I can show you what this link looks like. If I just go in and I just grab the book straight out, okay? Mm-hmm. So you can see there's a bunch of stuff in here.
Yeah. Right?
And all of this is telling them who I am. So if I include that in my link on the Facebook page and somebody uses it to buy my book, it looks like I bought my own book. And then if they leave a review, it looks like I left a review of my book. And they will delete it.
Got it. Okay.
So yeah, so you want to grab that clean link. Where is it? Yeah. So you want to grab the clean link. So everything before reference, because right, reference is telling them other stuff, time of day, location, all of that. So we grab the clean link for our Amazon here. And we're good to go. Display link, if you're sending them to Amazon and you put something else there, they will change it. They're like, they've got to be consistent. So I usually don't mess with it just because it's going to say Amazon.com and people are familiar enough to trust Amazon, particularly like these are people who like Kindle. Oh, yeah. So that's our Facebook ad from all our targeting and everything. And talking about our bid, right? Start with industry standard until you have enough data to know if you're doing better or worse than it. And you split test till you're at least getting industry standard.
When you say industry standard, are you just talking about authors in general, or are you talking about
authors in general? They're saying, you know, if an ad is working well, they say, this is how I know. And so that's what I'm saying, industry standard. That's where authors are saying, I feel comfortable with this ad. So, so you'll need to look at how much your book, like Amazon will tell you what profit you make, from the sale. Like you make like 70%, and then you've got to kind of, you know, look at that and be like, okay, what is, if I, you know, 10 of those minus one is my guaranteed profit zone, as long as you're hitting industry standard on your ads. So, and then last time we did talk about the power of the multi-book is that you don't have to advertise book two. You just make profit on it, right? And so, you know, so you don't have to advertise it. And so that can really change your range. So if your total profit, so, you know, I think 60% is standard for people going on to book two. So if I'm making $3 on book one and $3 on book two, you know, then convert that to the 60%. We're going to call it $2 to keep the math simple here, right, with my conversions. So I make $5 per sale here because I've got two books. Well, that changes my floor from 29 cents to 50 cents. Now, you can either bid higher and try to get more people through a higher bid, or what you could do is say, I'm gonna target a bigger market that doesn't perform well. I'm gonna target a market that I'm getting, you know, 5 clicks in 1,000. And I'm gonna put my bid cap at 25 so I can reach a larger market. Right. So there's a couple ways to kind of approach that to expand your marketing and still keep your floor intact. So, and then every time you write a new book, you know, this number is going to go up and just keep going up and up. And that's the power of the multi-book model. And it's easier to convert someone to you as an author if they read a series of yours, right? How many times have you read a one-off author and then maybe never bought another book from them versus be like, you read the first in series, be like, well, I got to go to the next book, right? And, you know, by the time you've read 3 or 4 books, maybe you're like, oh, I really like this writer. Whereas if they just read one, they may not be converted right away. And so just easier to convert them to a fan using the multi-book model. Are there any questions on Facebook ads and scaling and all of that? No.
I have a question about your pictures that you choose, but I don't know if that's really related to Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, so I can go into the pictures real quick. So there are a couple tools you use. Is it so the Visume is one I have. I've been they sent me an account that I'm kind of still testing out. I don't know a lot about it. Canva is a really popular one, and then BookBrush is my favorite, just as a tool to kind of create my. Yeah, you can create ads or you can create, you can do like mock-ups and covers. And so you can see here, I get to pick what kind of ad I want based on either the social media platform or how I kind of want it to shape on Facebook. Right. So here it's Facebook. I can click Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, BookBub, TikTok. Right. So I can pick wherever it is and they will automatically get me the right size for it. And then, of course, backgrounds, I can either upload my own or I can they have some free ones. And then they have some that you can like purchase for like 99 cents and things like that to adjust it.
Also, I know we probably have our own art, but Pixabay has a lot of free images that you could use.
Yeah, there's a lot of sites out there. You make sure you read their terms, because some of them, the free images are not free if you're using them for commercial purposes. So yeah. You've got to read the terms and conditions and make sure you can do that. But yeah, so you can see just some of my old images here and just slight variations between each one, you know, different background, different text. You know, sometimes I change size. Sometimes I, you know, just little variations as I just ran various split tests in the past. But yeah, so that's them. And then BookBrush lets you do that little book mock-up. That's why it looks like a book. I just took my blank cover, and then they have a tool that lets me put that on something that looks like a book.
That's awesome. And how often do you change up your ads? Like for the I know you do the split testing, but do you do
at
it like
least every 6 weeks? You can split test more than that, but most marketing people will tell you that there is ad fatigue within 6 weeks. You'll also if I think they say like if 70% of the audience has seen your ad at least 3 times, kill it. Because they need to see a different ad. And at that point, I wouldn't tweak it. I would go with a whole new image approaching that audience.
That's perfect.
I will mention this real quick. We're about to go into Amazon ads, which means we'll be talking about KDP Rocket. Book Report is a great way to see how your books are doing on Amazon, just as a really quick thing. And the great thing here is they will show you like your total earnings on your books. And they will also show you your page reads if you're in
Kindle Unlimited.
There it is. Yeah. And so that can help you understand how your, you know, it particularly like I know a lot of authors, the bulk of their income comes from page reads. So Book Report is a great way to just look at that and kind of see how everything's going there and just done really quickly. And of course, they'll show you everything here as well. And then it'll divide it out. You know, what are your print sales? What are your, you know, digital sales? And then what are you getting from Kindle Unlimited, which is select, right? So all of that data just really nice and compiled for you. And then they give you a pie chart as well. And it'll tell you here, but I mean, top earners, unless you've got a lot of books, that's probably not going to be that relevant. So that's Book Report. I do recommend signing up for it. As long as you're making... I think it's under $2,000 a month. It's free.
Is that Publisher Rocket or is that something else?
No, it's just getbookreport.com. That's it.
Okay.
And you just sign up. Yeah. And you'll link it to your Amazon account and then it'll pull the data for you. So, and it'll tell you, like, you can see 95% of all my book sales come from the US, 3.2% are in the UK, 0.6 in Canada, you know, Australia. And I'm not sure where DE is. Denmark?
Yeah, it's probably Denmark, yeah.
Yeah, probably Denmark. So, yeah. So that's Book Report. Just an easy way to track your data on Amazon and your book sales every day and different things like that. Particularly when you're running ads, Facebook only tells you if you're getting clicks. You have to look at Amazon to see if you're making sales.
And what's the URL? It's bookreport.com or?
Getbookreport.com.
Getbookreport.com. Okay.
Yep. Thank you. DE is actually Germany.
Oh.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Let's talk Amazon ads, and we're going to pull up Publisher Rocket for this. So Publisher Rocket is essential for Amazon. So let's go to Amazon real quick. Am I still? Yeah, I'm still screen sharing. So let's type in my book, right? So The first thing you're going to see is my Amazon page doesn't look like yours, probably. I'm getting a bunch of stuff here. So you can see I'm running what's called Amalize, which gives me all of the back data on the various products, right? So you can see all of this information on my book, but you can also see it on the other books that come up when I type in my book. Okay, so I'm going to open that. I'm going to go back to this one so that page looks normal. So let's do, all right. So yeah, type in my book. Here it is. Let's go ahead and open it in a new tab. So when we buy an Amazon ad, we are buying these slots. No, that's an also bought. So customers also viewed. So, well, I guess it's not here, but a lot of times you'll get books that'll pop up right in this area here. And those are the ads you're buying on Amazon. Also, let's just do this. You're also buying these ad slots right here. And then this ad slot right here. And so here we have sponsored products. So and then we're buying these ad slots right here. So you'll notice I am on a specific book with a specific author, right? So in order to get these ad slots, I have to target either that author or this book. And suddenly that can become a massively daunting task, which is where KDP Rocket comes in. So first we're going to go, let's go top 100 thrillers. So Amazon will usually have like these top 100 lists. And once you find a book on it, it's a lot easier to track these down. So we can then click on financial thriller books. Okay. And at that point, it's going to open up the categories here on the left-hand side. Okay. And so what this is going to do is we can then find the top 100 in each of these categories. And you'll probably, like, I wouldn't market to medical thrillers. That's too different from mine, right? So once I have these top 100 lists, we're going to go to KDP Rocket. What we'll do is we're just going to go down this list. So we're going to do Amazon keyword first one. So Amazon keyword search. And then what we're typing in is either the title or the author's here. So let's go with In Her Tracks. Okay, so now we get a big list here. Okay, so what happens is it's pulling that book and then books related to it and then other things people have kind of typed in when they've been around it. And so it's just pulling this big list of all the books kind of related to this book right here. Right. And it's pulling it instead of having to go in and enter all these titles one by one. It's pulled it automatically for me. And then what I can do is I just export it and it'll put it into an Excel file for me. Then what we'll do is we'll go down this list of 100 and we'll grab all of them. And there'll be a lot of overlap. So we'll compile it all into one Excel sheet and then we'll remove all the duplicates. And Amazon, I think it limits you to 1,000 keywords per ad. And so we'll just, you know, usually, you know, by the time you've gone through a list of 100, you'll probably have close to 10,000 to 20,000 keywords. So you'll be making 10 to 20 ads each with 1,000 keywords in them. And then I can say industry standard, but at the same time, there's so many books. And when someone is looking for that book or that author, whether or not they buy yours or not, there's not really a standard on that. You're going to assume industry standard, but you've got to watch that data really closely.
Joseph, you said it's 1,000 keywords. Does that mean? I mean, I thought you could only have 7 or something.
Okay,
so that's categories. Keywords are different.
Yeah. So Amazon uses the same phrasing for two things. So when you create your book and put it in there, they give you your 7 keywords. Those are very different than what we're doing here. Am I in the whatchamacallit desk? Let's kill this. Okay, so let's go back here and let's do an Amazon ad. So let's go ahead and promote and advertise this book here.
Now, how much are these ads from?
Like I said, we're gonna use our same bid, right? We're gonna assume I'm making $3. We're gonna make our maximum bid 29 cents, but it's gonna vary. And these, like I said, you've got to watch them a lot closer. Because they're so diverse. They're going to be different for every book you advertise against. And so you've just got to watch them closely and make sure you put your floor in there, your I will make a profit floor. But again, like, you know, it may be 15, 20 clicks before you get a sale on those. And you've got to kill those really quickly just because There's just so many options here. Lock screen ads are big buys. You're going to be needing, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to buy those advertisements. And those go on the Kindle. If you own one, you'll see that it pops up a bunch of advertisements for various books. And so that's what those lock screen ads are. And like I said, they're bulk. They're sold in bulk. Actually, I do think you can buy them, but I've never had success with them. They tend to be fairly expensive and I just don't get the click through that I like. Sponsored brands is a way of examining big categories. So I want to advertise against financial thrillers, right? And so it's a good way to try and drill down some of your targeting that way, but those are all kind of bigger things. So we're going to just go straight here. Marketing test. Okay, so I think I mentioned this before. You're always going to want to put an end date on your Amazon ads and your Facebook ads. And the reason is that these companies want your money. And if you have an end date and you tie for a bid, you are more likely to get it because you have an end date. And if the other person doesn't, they're going to pick you because they know there's an expiration date on your money, not the other person. So you always want an end date whenever you're setting an advertisement. So daily budget, you can do 5, 10, however much you want to do it. As you're testing here, like I said, you've got to watch these really closely early on. Automatic targeting is just them plugging in their own stuff. I've never had much luck with it, so I usually go with manually. And then I do dynamic bids down, so they'll take my cap and everything lower, but they won't go above my cap. Dynamic up is if you found a good place where you're making good profit and you've got room, some wiggle room, you can do that to see if maybe. Will my ads do a lot better if I just bid 2 cents higher? And so it's more of an experimentation floor to see if you can, if changing that bid will have a dramatic effect on how the ads are functioning there. And then of course, fixed bids is if you don't want it to mess with it, you're doing some kind of test. So we are going to do a custom ad, of course. There's my book that I've chosen, keyword targeting. So again, product targeting. This is like picking specific types of products to advertise against just to see, it's an experimentation field, not something you're going to be advertising long-term in. You'll advertise there and then you'll look at the data and see if there's anywhere where it starts performing well. And then you'll want to create custom ads for those once you've got them working. Okay. So it's got it suggested, which I don't want. I want to enter my keywords. So then let's go to our Excel file here. Okay. So here are the keywords. It's entered. First thing I do is I got to remove my duplicates, which I mentioned, because Amazon doesn't like them. So just click remove duplicates right there. I'll just copy this whole row. Actually, I remember it does not like it when I do that. So usually if you just scroll down to the bottom, you can just copy the whole thing all at once. So I just go to the bottom, hold shift, click up here, control C to copy. And like I said, we would get a much bigger list that we'd compile before, putting this ad together here, and then control V, and then we'll add keywords, and here's a suggested bid, which we don't want. We know what our bid is. And then here are the ones that didn't work. And so that was only, 249. And if you'll notice here, that was only the title keywords. The authors are in a separate column. And so you've got to pull those as well to plug those in because you want to be advertising against both those authors and those, and their books. And then the rest of that data you don't need. Because you won't be marketing against those. So there's that. Then we'll enter our copy here. And so because of the way Amazon sets up ads, this is really the only two things you can control are who you market against, right? The book and the authors and your copy text here. And then I guess your cover, which you can't split test cover images or anything like that on Amazon. It's just whatever cover is associated with the book at the moment. We'll put in the text here, and that's our Amazon ad. And like I said, you've got to watch these super closely because they can run away. And it's not always easy to understand why an Amazon ad is doing well. There was a time when my Amazon ads were taking off like crazy. And what was happening is there was a book called My Absolute Darling, which was a thriller. And I was running my ads against that book. And at that time, that book was doing really well. And my ads were getting a lot of exposure, a lot of clicks, and a lot of sales. And then as the popularity of that book died out, so did my ads. And so it's really complicated. Like, you can be like, I had this great ad. It was running so well. But you have to understand, an ad on Amazon is run against an author or one of their books. And as soon as those lose popularity, those ads will die. So with Amazon ads, you've got to be renewing these at least once a month to stay on the top 100 books that are out there, because, you know, they're constantly new books being released, and you've got to be staying on top of those. Otherwise, your ads are just going to die out. So, and that's part of why Publisher Rocket is so good, because going through and having to put in each of these books one by one by hand would take me hours. Whereas with Publisher Rocket, you know, 10, 15 minutes of just plugging in those titles, and I get thousands upon thousands instead of just a couple hundred. So it's an incredible tool. It's very useful. I've only got 5 more minutes tonight, so we'll have to cover the superfan model next time. So any questions so far?
Okay.
Can you run different ads for different formats, like Kindle versus your paperback or whatever?
That's a good question. Yeah, can you?
No, you're just running it for the book. So, like, if you'll know, let me bring up my incognito again. So, if you'll notice, my book on Amazon, when you go to the page, you're kind of on the page for everything. It'll usually pick a default, but, like, it's just, you know, right here, it switches. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, it'll pick a default, which is usually going to be the Kindle. But like in that Facebook ad, you could pull the clean link for the paperback instead if you wanted to do that. But Amazon is just usually going to default to your Kindle page because most book sales are ebooks.
Awesome. I just didn't know, because then you can maybe target different people for different formats, but that makes sense.
So, well, like I said, on Facebook, you can do that, but Amazon gives us so little control on.
They're very specifically not that. Yeah.
All right. Anything else? It's kind of heavy and intense. We're moving through it really fast. So
it's a lot of really good info. I appreciate being in the meeting because I'm learning a lot. So,
well, the idea is, you know, maybe the first 2 or 3 meetings, I'll teach you everything I know. But then after that, we'll talk about what we're learning as we're trying our own things.
Yeah.